When Sherry and I lived in South Carolina, we were members of the church in the small city of Camden, South Carolina. And there was a sister in the church there, Suzanne Lee, who would often come out of the church building after the morning service, and I would be standing in the foyer, and she would say, "Why don't you and Sherry come over for lunch?" Suzanne Lee was a member of the church there, and she was the cafeteria manager for the elementary school there in Camden. So Monday through Friday, she was used to cooking for hundreds of kids. Well, she didn't get the message because on Sunday she would cook for 100 kids, it seemed like. We would go over to her house, and it would be her and her husband, and she had some grown adult children. Some of them were married, some were not. And there'd be about 10 of us sitting around the table. There would be a bowl of mashed potatoes like that. There would be a big old mound of fried chicken, big plate of ham, beef tips. It seemed like when she brought the rolls out, there's 100 rolls. There's 10 of us sitting there. There was food everywhere, and that was just about every Sunday. We wouldn't eat with her every Sunday, but she would cook like that just about every Sunday. And thinking about that, you know, makes me want to think about lunch later on, but we've got to focus on the lesson right now. But she would put on a spread. You would not go away hungry. And then she'd say, "Well, take some of this chicken with you, you know, and take some of this with you, and wrap this up and take some of that." Well, you had Sunday evening dinner ready to go. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I want us to think about the statement of the prodigal son when he's away from home. And this statement has been on my mind lately, and I wanted to present a lesson about this. Read with me in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11. Jesus said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of thy substance that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring forth quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry, for my son was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.' And of course, they do that, and the father receives him back." When the prodigal son had gone away and wasted his substance in riotous living, he's eating husks with the swine, and he looks back on his situation that he had before he left. And I want us to think this morning about that very thing, that when people leave the church, or they don't want to be a part of the church, they want to be a part of the world, they think that that is a better place, they don't realize what they're giving up. Have you ever heard that expression that you don't realize what you have until it's gone? Have you ever heard that expression? And do you know what that means? I've thought about that before. Maybe you thought about that. What that means is we don't appreciate what we have until it's gone. And so here's this couple, they're going through problems. Well, I want to get a divorce. And so I get a divorce. And then I realize later, you know, I really didn't realize what I had now that it's gone. You know, I could come home and I had someone there to make me a meal. I don't have that anymore. Someone to talk to there in the living room. I had someone who would wash my clothes. I don't have that anymore, you see. And so I want a divorce. I want out. And then I realize, hey, I'm missing what I had before. And so that expression is true. And that's exactly what is going on here in verse 17. That the young man doesn't realize what he had until it's gone. And then when it's gone, he looks back and he thinks, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I'm sitting here eating with the pigs now. I want us to think about that expression, bread enough and to spare. And I want us to think about how that when God gives us something, it's like Suzanne Lee. There's going to be a bunch of it there. And there's going to be a lot of extra there. Have you ever been in a situation, whether at work or somewhere else, where someone was supposed to give something and they couldn't even give what they were supposed to give? Or if they did give it, it was just enough. They're not going to give any extra. They're not going to do any extra. Sometimes it's even below what they should be giving. You ever been around that? It's almost like, who's the stingy person? This Scrooge, this stingy person, this person that doesn't want to give up anything. And so sometimes they'll just give you just enough or even below, but they're certainly not going to give more. God's not like that. God's not like that. The Father in this parable is God, wanting sinners to come back. The context is chapter 15, verse 1, where Jesus is trying to receive the sinners, and the publicans and the Pharisees, they're casting them out. And the Father's like the one who wants them to come in. He provides bread enough and to spare. The church and being a Christian is not about God just being some miserly person who just barely doles it out to you. No, it's going to be bread enough and to spare. And you know, that's what God does. And so I want us to think this morning about what we have as a Christian and what we have in the church is bread enough and to spare. God is not someone who's just going to give you, just barely get it there. He's going to abundantly lavish that on you. And here's a challenge for you, brethren. And this is what got me to thinking about this. When you read your Bible, I want you to focus on the adjectives. On the adjectives that Paul or someone else might use. When he's describing something about God, he'll throw in an adjective to let you know that it's above and beyond and abundant and overflowing. Notice those adjectives when you read your Bible. Because what that's saying is that God is not just some miserly person out there just barely giving it to you. It's going to be a lavish feast. And you're going to have bread enough and to spare. And I want us to think about that as we go through life. Let's look at a few examples before we actually look at some of those blessings that God gives us. God gives abundantly beyond. Look at Exodus chapter 16. When the Israelites are coming through the wilderness and they're complaining of hunger, God says, okay, I'm going to give you something to eat. Was it something where they had to go out there and scrounge and scrounge and scrounge, and after scrounging all day long, they scrounged up these little old scraps and then they were still hungry? Because God is this miserly giver who just barely get by. No, he's abundant in the supply of the manna. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 16, this is the thing which Jehovah hath commanded. Gather ye every man according to his eating, an omer of bread according to the number of your persons shall you take it. Every man for them that are in his tent. There was enough for everybody. It was everywhere. It was all over the ground. And there were some rules. And we won't, that's the subject of another lesson. You couldn't gather it up and keep it and all that. But my point is there was enough for everybody. There wasn't fighting. And there's this little old patch of manna out there for thousands of people. So you got to rush out there and grab it before. It was everywhere and people could get it. Everybody in their tent could have it. God provides bread enough and to spare. Verse 17. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they measured it, it was an omer. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. There was enough for everybody. And when God, John 6, provides bread from heaven, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life that comes down from heaven. There's going to be plenty for everybody. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 17 in the days of Elijah when he's performing miracles, and some of those benefit widows. You think about a widow at this time and some troubles that they might be going through financially and otherwise. And there's going to be some hardships there. And so we find Elijah and this widow of Zarephath. 1 Kings 17:14, for thus saith Jehovah the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that Jehovah sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, And he and her house did eat many days, and the jar of meal wasted not. Neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word which Jehovah spake by Elijah. I'll just give you a little bit of oil. I'll just give you a little bit of meal. No. There's going to be plenty there to last you. Bread enough and to spare. I want all of us to think this morning about God's provision for us. We don't need to be looking out into the world. We don't need to be saying, well, I just want to quit being a Christian because this thing about being a Christian, I mean, he just barely gives. No. It's abundantly above and beyond what you could ask or think. Bread enough and to spare. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. We're familiar with the feeding of the 5,000. What was left over and why was it left over? You ever thought about that? What was left over and why? It's because we're dealing with God. We're dealing with God. I find it interesting sometimes that when man tries to help out a situation, even with the best of intentions, sometimes they can barely get enough to meet the need, let alone have certain. Sometimes they can't even meet the need of what is going on. God's not like that. God's not limited like man is. And so in the feeding of the 5,000 in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 20 and chapter 15 and verse 37 again, what do we find? Baskets of food left over. Look at Matthew 14 and verse 20. They all ate and were filled. The Greek word there, I'm told, means fully satisfied. They had all that they wanted and then some. And they took up that which remained over the broken pieces. 12 baskets full now. God didn't just barely get them fed. Just barely get enough. No, there was left over. That's how God operates. And so in the parable of this prodigal son, he realizes, you know, I'm sitting here eating with the pigs and my servants that are in my father's house, they have bread enough and to spare now. And we know that because when he comes back, the father kills the fatted calf and there's this bountiful feast. And he left that all behind. I want us to think about now and turn our attention to some of the things that God gives us. In John chapter 10, in verse 10, Jesus said, I came to give life and give it abundantly. I want you to underscore in your Bible these adjectives now that we're going to be looking at. I came to give life and to give it abundantly. The Christian life is you're going to be taken care of. All of your needs are going to be taken care of. Not necessarily all of your wants, but all of your needs. And it will be an abundant life. It will not be a life where we have this, you know, miserable, beggarly existence, and we're just creeping by in life. But it is abundant joy and spiritual blessing. we have abundant life. And those of us who have lived long enough as a Christian, we know all of the things that God has given through the years, the goodness and the greatness of that. When it comes to saving mankind, turn with me to Romans chapter 5. God's grace and mercy and love and forgiveness abounds. There is enough to go all over the world. There is enough to take care of every sin. In Romans chapter 5, Paul is comparing the consequences of what happened with Adam versus the consequences of what happens with Jesus. And so when sin went all over the world because all sin, there's got to be a plan to take care of that. What matched that? What dealt with that? Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. For as through one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, Jesus on the cross, shall the many be made righteous. And the law came in besides, that the trespass might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did abound more exceedingly. I want to make sure this gets covered, and covered well. And so the cross and the grace of God and the love and the mercy and the forgiveness. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. There is no excuse for somebody to say, my sin will not be covered. No, my sin will be covered and then some. There's plenty of that to cover you and to cover me. And so, having talked about the terrible nature of sin in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, the terrible nature of sin there, but God being rich in mercy for His great love. Look at these adjectives. For His great love wherewith He loved us. Even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with Him and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding, underscore the adjectives, the exceeding riches of His grace and the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. It's going to get covered, friend. And we just keep going on and on. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. You see, God is not going to come up under. He's not even just going to meet the bare minimum requirement. It's going to be bread enough and to spare. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, we read that we're taken care of. We've got to obey Him, of course. But 1 Peter 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy begat us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same thing in 1 Timothy 1, 13 and 14. Turn with me there. Paul talks about how great of a sinner he was and all of the things that he had done as a persecutor. Though I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious or violent aggressor, howbeit I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord abounded exceedingly with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. There's plenty even to cover Paul, the terrible persecutor. It abounded exceedingly with faith and love, you see. The reason is God gives bread enough and to spare. Isaiah 55, verse 7. We need help to make it through life. We need some power. I'm dealing with this temptation. I'm dealing with this fault, this problem, this issue. I need some help. Have you ever been in a vehicle that didn't have enough power? Have you ever been in a vehicle that didn't have enough power to carry a load? And it was fine if it was on flat ground, but if you started going up a hill, I just don't have enough power. You ever been in a situation like that? Guys have had tools or vehicles that, oh man, I need some more power. We know what that's like. It's not strong enough to get the job done. We understand. And so we go out and we buy the next thing up from that. Well, we need power to deal with things as a Christian. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. God, through His providence and through His Word, gives us power. The inward power to get things done. Paul said, we, speaking of himself and the other apostles who were preaching the gospel, we have this treasure, the treasure of the gospel, in earthen vessels, that is, in their own physical bodies that have its limitations, that have to go through persecutions and so forth. We have this treasure, the gospel, in earthen vessels, our earthly bodies, that the exceeding greatness, there's two of them, the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. The reason, one reason why God chose this plan is that it puts the emphasis on Him getting it done. We're just earthen vessels. That's the pottery that breaks real easy. So if the gospel gets spread into all the world and the gospel gets accomplished, it's going to be because of the exceeding greatness of His power. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:19. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't know if I have enough power to deal with this. I've got this family issue and this health issue and this. Yeah, you do. Not only do you, but you have enough and then some. God's not just going to barely give you enough volts, you know, to get through. It's going to be a power plant that provides more. It would be like you taking a vacuum cleaner and going out here to a substation and plugging in out there. You're going to have enough to run your vacuum cleaner, and then you're going to have all that other 600 and something thousand watts, you know. That's what it is with God. He does not just barely dole it out. And so Ephesians 1:19, look at this. Verse 18, he's talking about us as Christians. We have our eyes, the eyes of our heart are enlightened, that is, through the truth, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now look at this. And what the exceeding, look at the adjectives, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Faith is extremely strong. According to the working of the strength of His might. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We have an inward man that is supercharged. That is supercharged. I like things dealing with airplanes. I guess that's because of my father. When we were little, he got us interested in airplanes. And it's interesting when you trace, you go from World War I to World War II to Korea and Vietnam and you work your way up. That you have these little biplanes and they had engines, but then you want to increase the power. And you want to increase the power. And so you keep increasing the power. And then we had the supercharged engine, you see. We had the jet engine. They can fly faster and higher and that type of thing. And so you're increasing the power to get more done. We want the power to get the things done. And we are supercharged, if you will. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16, that He would grant unto you. Now look at this. We get it. This is something that God wants us to have. That He would grant unto you the riches of His glory, that you may be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inward man. That's how we deal with these things that we've been talking about. But look at it. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith to the end that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend or understand with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Whatever power you need that you think that you can come up with, God's going to cover that, and then He'll have more if you need more. And we need to appreciate that. And we need to utilize that. How? Is that some mystical or mysterious kind of... No. Verse 16. We're strengthened with the inward man. As we read God's Word, as we pray, as we worship, that power is supercharging us to do those things that we need to do. Have you ever had difficult things happen in your life and you need peace? You need comfort? You need consolation? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. The pain of death, the pain of loss, the pain of family problems and other things that are going on, you need help with that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. More than we can comprehend. When we, verse 4, when we're in the Lord and we're living right, there's going to be peace enough and to spare. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26. Again, as we experience the life of a Christian and we get older and older, we look back over and we see how that God gave us that. And there are things that happen in our life that are extremely difficult to handle. But the peace of God, what He tells us about the judgment day and the home of heaven and being right with Him and Him guarding us and those types of things, it gives us a peace. We don't have to be like the world, filled with anxiety and worry and stress. And I don't know about the future, and I don't know what's going to happen when I die, and all those kinds of things, because they're not believers. But peace, a calmness that passes all understanding. In Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1, "In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will He appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth faith may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." Don't we sing in our psalm books, peace, perfect peace? That's where that comes from. And there's plenty there to help us through no matter what goes on in life. Help enough in despair. We've just studied in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we can come to the throne of grace to receive help in time of need. I'm not going to turn to the world. I'm not going to turn to drugs. I'm not going to turn to worldliness. I'm not going to turn to sinful things. I'm going to turn to God in prayer. And He's going to give me help in time of need. Do we really pray? Do we pray enough? Do we pour our heart out? Do we come to that throne of grace serious? Or is it a few words we might say at a meal or just a few little memorized things? Or do we really ask for help? He's there. And there'll be plenty and to spare. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. The devil's not going to give up once we become a Christian. He's still going to assail us and assault us. And he's going to try to get us to go back into the world. And we need salvation. And we're told here, I find it interesting, that Jesus at the right hand of God is our intercessor. He is able to save to the uttermost. Have you ever noticed that word uttermost, or whatever word your version might use? It means completely, fully, to the uttermost. Well, how can you save to the uttermost? It doesn't matter what comes along. God is going to save us. No matter what attack, no matter what the problem is, it's going to be complete salvation. God's not going to barely, you know, allow you to squeak yourself into heaven, just barely got into heaven. Just, boy, I really dodged a bullet on that one. And God wasn't there, but I just barely... No, it's going to... Whatever I need each day, it's going to be salvation to the uttermost. All the way to the end. And all the way through whatever battle or whatever problem. Them that draw near unto God. Here I am, drawing near to God, trying to live faithfully. He's going to save to the uttermost. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Have you ever been around someone who, I know I have in my life, who was just generous in their giving? I've been in situations before where there's been someone who said, well, here's enough money. Here's enough money to take care of such and such. I know you're going to have that need, but then here's an extra $100. You never know what you might need. I've been in situations like that. We need to be like that. We don't just need to be givers, but generous givers, liberal. And God is like that. He doesn't just barely get you enough. But here's some, and then some more in case you need that. In James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not. And it shall be given to him. We praying for wisdom. Turn to chapter 3. We're going to be studying here real soon in the book of James in the adult class. We'll be getting to these matters. But in chapter 3, there is a wisdom that comes from above. Verse 17, it's pure, it's peaceable, gentle. We pray for wisdom. We read God's Word. We pray for the application of that. Help me to learn it and know it and apply it. And be good stewards of it so that I can carry it out in my life in these various areas. God's wisdom. He's going to give you that liberally. Verse 5. And then joy. One last point, and then the lesson will be yours. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. As a Christian, we've experienced things in our life. When we became a Christian and we came up out of the waters, like the Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing, like the jailer in his household in Acts 16, he rejoiced with his household. It starts there and it never ends. And there's a happiness that we have as a Christian when we think about all that God gives us. But look at the word that Peter uses. On whom, not having seen, verse 8, you love. On whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly. Again, look at the adjectives in your Bible. With joy unspeakable. I can't even begin to tell you how happy I am about this or that in Christ. And we could talk all day long about what we have with heaven and other things. And we would still not exhaust the topic. Joy unspeakable. Look at chapter 4 and verse 13. But insomuch you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, rejoice that at the revelation of His glory, when He comes again a second time, you also may rejoice, look at it, underscore your adjectives, with exceeding joy. We talk about, well, he had a grin a mile wide. Well, when Jesus comes again and you're in a right relationship with Him, you're going to have a grin a mile wide, if you will. That joy, that exceeding joy. And that's what God gives. It's not a gloom and doom life. It's not a drudgery being a Christian. It's joy unspeakable. Look at Jude verse 24 with me. Now unto Him that is able to guard you from stumbling and to set you before the presence of His glory without blemish in exceeding joy. More happy than you could ever be. More happy than the things that are in the world. So what is it? It's bread enough in despair. It's God providing whatever we need and then a lot more. He's not a bare minimum person. There are no shortages with God, only surpluses, leftover. What's leftover? When I was a kid, my brothers, hey, let's go to the Army surplus store. Let's go to the Army surplus store. What was that? All that stuff left over from World War II? Nobody wanted it, except my brothers and people like that. Let's go look at those old Jeeps. Let's go buy a canteen. And at one point, I had a helmet. Just a helmet. That's all. I had it for a while and then ended up in the garbage. Is it World War II helmet? You know. Let's go get some of that. What is surplus? It's what's left over. All the excess. God doesn't come up just to the line. He doesn't come up under. It's going to be that. And then there's going to be 12 baskets full left over. in anything and everything He gives you. And we need to remember that. There would be no need to go to the world because of that. There would be no need to leave Christ because of that. If we leave God, it's not because He's failing to provide. It's because we're leaving Him in spite of all of that that He's providing. And that young man realized it. I'm with the pigs now, and look at all of what's going on at home. Bread enough and to spare. And so the lesson is yours. I want us to think about the great things that we have in Christ and not leave that to go to the world. But in addition to that, this week, for example, as a Christian, we go through things at home and work and other kinds of things. You need to realize that you have life and grace and power and peace to spare. Utilize that. Tap into that. Access that. You remember when the computers first came out? Not only did we want them to be faster, but we wanted them to what? Have more power. Got to have more power. More power, you see. You've got power. You've got these things. I have these things. Help! Help now! And wisdom and joy and these things that we've talked about. And they'll always be leftovers. You can't out, you know, tap God and tap the source and He runs dry. No, there's going to be plenty there and then some. Let's utilize that in staying faithful to God. If we can call upon you this morning to begin your life as a Christian, we would encourage you to do that. We can take your confession. We can baptize you into Christ this morning. If there's someone who's erred as a child of God and who needs to come back, maybe not realizing that they really did have bread enough and to spare. And you need to come back in some way. But let's all go out understanding what God provides. He's not this bare minimalist. He's not someone who's coming up short. There's going to be that abundance. And like Sister Lee, when maybe 10 people are sitting down there, she could have fed a football team. She could have fed a small army because that's just the way she provided. And come back next Sunday and we'll do it all over again. That was just kind of the hospitable type of person. It reminds me of 1 Peter 4:9, given to hospitality. We all need to be like that. But God is like that. Bread enough and to spare. Come be a part of that this morning. If we can assist you, if we can encourage you, why won't you come as we stand and sing?